Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Merry Christmas to everybody. I have a show today you have to hear. It's on high blood pressure. It's about what you do about high blood pressure, but the spin on the show today, and this is why it's a novel show, is it involves everybody. What you think high blood pressure is not really what it is. As usual, there's another perspective that gives more truth. High blood pressure is really a commentary on what we call arterial perfusion. So even if you haven't been diagnosed with high blood pressure, what you're dealing with, what all of us have to be aware of, what all of us have to optimize is arterial perfusion. That means even before you get high blood pressure, the condition of that artery, the consequence of the health of that artery, is proficient or more optimal delivery of blood to your organ systems. And there's a big variation there. We don't really measure that variation. High blood pressure is the point at which that variation in arterial efficiency, the ability of that artery to deliver a full load of blood to the cell, begins to get too compromised. We're going to expand on this as the show goes on. If you're new to the show, good morning. Merry Christmas. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This show is Straight Talk on Health, show 292. That's across a five-year period. It's an encyclopedia of knowledge for you. If you're wise enough, dedicated enough to take advantage of it, you can really change your health status. Get on the website if you can. I attach pictures to this show. Pictures teach you, as well as words, even better. StraightTalk.cc. That's with two T's, not.com.cc. StraightTalk with two T's, .cc. Okay. You have been diagnosed with high blood pressure. You're on 1, 2, 3, 4 medications. How many people I've seen over the years across this desk on at least 3 or 4 medications for blood pressure, and it's still not doing it? Little caveat you have to know. Even if you think you've been managed for high blood pressure, that number, when you're on those meds, represents the average number, which is good to take down, which is life-threatening if you don't, but it doesn't deal with the spikes. Until you really understand the cause of high blood pressure, you're not going to really appreciate the fact that your numbers medicated can be good, but you see, intermittently throughout the day, more times than you know or want, the blood pressure's spiking through the roof, and those meds don't stop that. So we're going to get you into this slowly, concisely, coherently. If you can, look at the picture of the artery. To understand high blood pressure, you have to start with the artery. So go to picture number one. If you're driving, I'll describe this to you. If you can't, get to the computer. If you can, straighttalk.cc. When you get home, get on the computer. Listen to the show a couple of times. That's how you really lock it into a functional, measurable level. An artery is layered. If you take an artery and you cut it in half, it has different layers. It has an outer layer, an external layer. It has a middle layer. It has a very internal layer. 3 different layers made of 3 different substances. It has a basement membrane, and then it has, and this is going to be so important for today's show, it has an epithelial lining. It has a one-celled epithelial lining that really represents the intelligence of the artery, and we'll explain that. An artery is multiple layers. An artery is such that if you cut out an artery and you tied off one end of it, you should be able to blow into that artery, blow air into the artery, and watch the artery expand out like a balloon. And then when you take your mouth off, it simply goes back to its normal diameter. An artery is a viscoelastic piece of material. And when that changes, you start having trouble. We're going to get into the reason that viscoelasticity changes. We're going to get into the reasons that that artery does not expand, because that's what you call high blood pressure. But right now, I want you to appreciate that the artery has multiple layers. Now, the layer of the artery that's touching the blood, because the blood runs through the artery, that layer is called the endothelial layer. Go to picture number 4, if you can. The inner lining of that artery is one cell thick. It's called the endothelium. Not too thick. One cell thick. In other words, very thin. In that is the intelligence of the artery. What do I mean by that? Well, you got to consider something. You've got to consider that the nervous system, or the intelligence of the cell, or the nerve sensors, are hanging out, connected to those cells particularly. Why? Because those are the cells that interface with the outside world. Your blood is the outside world. Your blood is the inside world. Your blood is a mirror of everything that's going on in your body. Your blood is a hologram. Your blood and what's in your blood, what's not in your blood, can tell someone who analyzes it correctly a whole lot about you. So the body puts sensors there so it can read what's going on in the blood. And based upon those sensors, your artery will react. So we're talking about a whole other level here. The first thing to understand about high blood pressure is that it's regulated by what the endothelial layer tells the body. I'll give you an example. You've heard of nitrous oxide. Nitrous oxide is a compound, a moiety. It's a compound secreted by this endothelial layer. And what does nitrous oxide do if it's secreted? It dilates the artery. And that's very important in lowering the blood pressure, because the artery is expanding and constricting. An artery is not a static hose. An artery is something that's expanding and constricting. And when it's supposed to constrict, it's supposed to constrict. And when it's supposed to expand, it's supposed to expand. And all of that's regulated by the nervous system. By the autonomic nerves, the sympathetic and parasympathetic nerves into the artery, or some variation of that, are controlling the expansive, constrictive aspect of the artery in conjunction with chemicals that are secreted that interact with the nervous system. So there's a neurochemical mechanism controlling the expansion or constriction of that artery. So key point is the fact that the artery is not static. It is always expanding or contracting in any given unit of time. When your artery needs to expand off the production of nitrous oxide, which of course people put in supplements, arginine, L-arginine, which is an amino acid and a base of what it takes to make nitrous oxide, is suggested to people as a supplement, and it may be a good idea, but the purpose of it is that it builds the amount of nitrous oxide. I mean, ideally, theoretically, hopefully, and sometimes in virtual reality, yes, it does. But really, the ticket, the smart man's way to regulate the blood pressure, is to make sure that that endothelial layer is not tampered with, is not irritated, is not free radical damaged, is not annoyed, has its wits about it. And one of the ways you can destroy the intelligence of that endothelial layer is fatty plaque. Now, here's a connection they don't tell you. The connection is that once over the decades from age 20 to 30 to 40 to 50, before they measure the amount of plaque, before they can see it, I'm not just talking about coronary plaque. I'm not just talking about the plaque, calcific and fatty plaque that's in the arteries, that's in the cervical carotid arteries, or in the coronary, the arteries of the heart. I'm talking about the systemic plaque throughout the body. The fact of the matter is that over the years, long before you ever find out it, those fatty sheaths, the glueiness of the fatty content of the blood is starting to slime on to that endothelial layer. It's starting to corrupt it. It's starting to make it stupid. It's starting to damage it. It's starting to tear into the membranes of each and every cell of that endothelial layer. And tampered like that, or free radical damaged like that, the endothelial layer stops producing at the optimal and effective rates the nitrous oxide that artery needs to expand. That's one big driver over the years of your high blood pressure issues. Now, what's so novel and what's so neat to understand about this is that long before you're going to have heart disease, you're going to have high blood pressure. Long before someone's going to tell you that your femoral artery, that your tibial artery, that your peroneal artery, that your iliac artery, that your pudendal artery, that your splenic artery, that your renal artery is 10 to 20 to 30% occluded, long before you're ever going to find that out, if you ever find that out, are these layerings of calcific or fatty or calcific and fatty plaque going to begin to corrupt your endothelial intelligence? That's big. You out there with a systolic blood pressure of 160 over 80, 150 over 80, and you're only 40 years old or 45 years old, you're beginning to corrupt the intelligence of that endothelial layer. You may be 20, 25, 30 years away from heart disease or a stroke. You may never get heart disease or a stroke. You may never get heart disease or a stroke or suffer from kidney issues. But this is so important for you to understand, because once the endothelial layer gets stupid, you can never dilate the artery the way it's required to get enough blood to where it needs to go. And that results in less organ cellular efficiency. Now you got to take that in. Merry Christmas to you. There's an insight. There's a deep insight. Because it slants this notion of high blood pressure. High blood pressure is not about high blood pressure. High blood pressure is about efficiency of arterial perfusion, the ability of the artery to deliver optimal amounts of blood in any given moment to the organ that needs it. So that's our initial understanding. The central junction box in the endothelial layer of the multilayered artery makes nitrous oxide, responds to the blood inside. It's not just plaque that can corrupt this. Let's go to another level. Let's go to all the things in the blood, not just oxidized or free radicalized LDL. Let's go to all the things in the blood, heavy metals, pesticides, petrochemicals, anything that you call a free radical that hits the blood. Why? Well, maybe we make them. More likely, we breathe them in. More likely, they're in the blood because of the foods we eat. The summation, the melee, the hodgepodge, the stew of all the electron-deficient free radical scavengers in the blood do what? They go after that endothelial layer. When the amount of free radicals in the blood exceeds the ability of the endothelial layer to recover from the free radical damage, you begin to destroy the intimal layer, the endothelial layer of your arteries. It's not just plaque. It's anything. Now, the minute we get that, we realize that the guy working at the Long Beach port or the auto jet mechanic, or your hairstylist taking in those EMF fields from her hairdryer each and every day, 10, 12 hours a day, 5, 6 days a week. We begin to realize that the world is filled with good reasons for free radicals to be circulating at higher than optimal, higher than acceptable levels in the blood. And what's going to be the result? The eating away, the hacking away, the chipping away of the membranes of the endothelial layers of the arteries. And so those endothelial cells get stupid. They don't function right. They're hacked up. First consequence, you don't get the normal production of nitrous oxide. That is extremely important. And you can supplement with arginine or any of the other supplements to help that expansion. I'm going to mention some of the supplements today. And they're all good and they can help to a point. But next to the fundamentals, forget it. If you're supplementing with magnesium, if you're supplementing with arginine, if you're supplementing with all these different vasodilatory Rofolia in a product called Cardiotone, I put it there on picture number 28, Cardiotone. Great product. I've seen it bring down the blood pressure 10, 15, 20 points, 30 points in the systolic consistently. But that's not really the way it should be done. You have to go after fundamentals. I'd be melting plaque. I'd be doing the things to melt the plaque. I would be bringing down my LDLs. I would be bringing up my HDLs. I would be eating a more antioxidant-filled diet. I would be working with herbs, but I would be also applying the fundamentals to heal up, to coerce, to persuade, to give love to those endothelial cells so in the balance of trade, they can begin to repair. That's a dynamic concept. So you there with high blood pressure, or you who don't want high blood pressure, or you who understand this isn't about high blood pressure, it's about arterial perfusion, have to understand that we have this living, dynamic organism called the endothelial lining of the artery that really dictates the mechanism that we use to regulate blood pressure. It's one of the biggies behind it. And that keeping the blood clean, well, what would that mean? That would mean the kidney flushes. That would mean the things you do for the biliary flushes to the gallbladder. Anything that enhances the rate at which you clean the blood gives the endothelial layer more time to repair against that higher concentration of free radicals that will damage that intimal layer. It's a fascinating spin, is it not? Okay, let's continue. Blood pressure meds. Great books to get into on blood pressure meds. I'll just tell you right off the bat, we can't do it fully in an hour, but you can do it in a book. Here is a book for you. The High Blood Pressure Hoax. That's picture number 13 by Sherry Rogers. Medical doctor, she's still in practice somewhere in Florida. She's been writing these books for years. She's got another one, picture 14, Is Your Cardiologist Killing You? Why high blood pressure? Why do we go after the high blood pressure drugs? And again, if you get rushed to ER with your blood pressure up at 220, 230, 240, over 100, 120, 130, make sure you take your blood pressure meds. This is not a show about denying the importance of pharmaceutical drugs when they're appropriate. When you are in acute crisis, these drugs are godsends. I don't want to get this tone about the AMA is trying to kill you and your medical doctors are trying to kill you and they're all evil and the pharmaceutical companies are evil human beings. Before you go there, understand that in acute crisis, these drugs are life-saving. Understand that you never go cold turkey on them. Understand that there is an argument, and a lot of your medical doctors, Sherry Rogers is one, will agree with these things. There is an argument that the chronic use of pharmaceutical drugs, in this case blood pressure meds, has long-term effects. And many, many medical doctors, your medical doctor is going to be glad to lower the dosages as is appropriate. So let's get that one straight. What we're talking about now is the chronic use of blood pressure meds. The chronic use of blood pressure meds over the years will start to leak your will start to create leakages in different ways. And one thing that the diuretics do, so let's talk about diuretics. Go to picture number 19. We're going to throw the blood pressure meds into four different categories: the diuretics, the beta blockers, the calcium channel blockers, and the ACE inhibitors. Now, the ACE inhibitors work off a compound called angiotensin II, which is a vasoconstrictor. ACE inhibitors block angiotensin II. Calcium channel blockers block the uptake of calcium because calcium causes contractions. Beta blockers prevent the nervous system from constricting the artery. And diuretics, as you probably already know, cause the water, the blood plasma, to leak out. On diuretics, you're up night urinating all the water out of the blood vessel, so the blood vessel drops. All four drug categories are very powerful at regulating the blood pressure, but they have side effects. You'll read a lot. You can read about these side effects everywhere. One of the most significant side effects of the diuretic is that you start urinating out too much magnesium and too much potassium, to the point where they even make potassium-sparing diuretics. Diuretics, I don't see them used that often. I mean, diuretics are always used. I don't see the potassium-sparing ones used enough. But I will tell you that the diuretics are famous. Even if you don't deal with potassium, you're always losing too much magnesium. Critical levels of magnesium are constantly ending up in the urinal, in the toilet, from the chronic use of diuretics. This is big. It's not little, it's big, it's really big. And the result is that when you're on a diuretic, your blood pressure is going to increase. Diuretics will initiate, as a consequence of magnesium loss, a steady trend in the progression of your blood pressure, which of course is going to be regulated by using more beta blockers, more ACE inhibitors, different variations of them, more calcium channel blockers, and 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 blood pressure meds generally end up being the net result of this. That is a big deal. Because what it means for you is all the side effects of all of these drugs begin to build up and potentiate each other. This is where I think the health community has a reasonable argument against the use of these. That is, if we had an alternative. If you don't have an alternative, letting your blood pressure then spike up to 180 over 120 is too much of a price to pay against not using blood pressure meds. So you see, there's both sides of the argument here. And of course, what we have to come to terms with is, what is a reasonable alternative approach to bringing down high blood pressure? Well, one thing is magnesium supplementation. And it may not always work. I will tell you quite honestly, magnesium supplementation may not always work, but I will tell you, it is worth a try, especially if you're on diuretics. Especially if you've been on blood pressure meds long term. And what you do is you take a good form of magnesium, like magnesium glycinate, and you take it up to 3-4 grams a day. What you do is you play with the dosage to bowel tolerance. It's kind of easy to do. Magnesium is used in the artery to dilate that little muscle the muscular layer of the artery, the tunica media, we call it, will bind the magnesium and vasodilate the artery if it's there. And if you're urinating it out as a side effect of the med, then it's not there. Very closely associated to the whole issue of magnesium is the fact that if your adrenals are overworked, if you're adrenally exhausted, it's such a complicated loop. But let me just say now that a lot of magnesium, blood pressure meds aside, end up in the toilet because the cortisol's too high, because people have too much stress. Stress in the normal sense of the word stress brings the cortisol levels too high. Cortisol is a potent anti-inflammatory. Cortisol is what the human organism uses to counterbalance the effect of all the pro-inflammatory chemicals we produce or ingest. And when cortisol gets too high, magnesium ends up in the toilet bowl. So does potassium. Does that sound like you? How many people are stressed out in general? How many people really forgot? How many people really know their high blood pressure is because they live a life of stress? That means your magnesium ends up in the toilet instead of binding to the artery where it belongs. And again, you lose your vasodilation. The artery cannot relax because the endothelial cell isn't making nitrous oxide. The artery cannot relax because the magnesium it needs ends up in the toilet. The magnesium is being excreted out as a side effect of the diuretic they're giving you for high blood pressure, and that's making it worse. So you go on more of the other drugs. The magnesium is being excreted out because your cortisol levels are through the roof. Why? Because you're so stressed out. Why are you stressed out? Because you're not sleeping. Because you're up urinating all night because of the diuretic. That's what we call the dangerous, fatal blood pressure loop. That's the problem with this highway. You start going into a negative reciprocity. All the variables start working against you towards your demise instead of all the variables working for you in a positive reciprocity towards your health. That is the way it works. Lots to listen to, huh? Too complicated, is it? Well, you guys know the theme of this show is it's not too complicated. If your version of health is find a supplement and forget it, then maybe it is too complicated. But that's not your version of health. Your version of health is the one I'm asking you to embrace. And that is just to find common sense approaches that demand a little bit of education so that you can put the pieces together. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to my website, straighttalk.cc. That's with two T's, .cc, not .com. This show asks you to just dig a little bit deeper. A little deeper so you can put the concepts together. What you've gotten in the last 20, 30 minutes against just downing a drug or downing a supplement, there is no comparison. In my experience over 20 years working with people, 25 years now working with people, almost 300 shows over 5 years discussing these topics. No matter which way you cut it, it comes down to your understanding of fundamentals. So let's continue. Four different types of drugs. One's a diuretic. I'll save it for the literature. Won't go into it today, but diuretics have other side effects. One of them is diabetes. Beta blockers. A beta blocker vasodilates the artery by blocking the nervous system. One piece of the nervous system that's not under your conscious control, meaning you don't even know this is going on, One piece of the nervous system called the sympathetic nervous system is causing constriction of that artery. Constant vasoconstriction of the artery is caused by the sympathetic nerves. To be countered by expansion of that artery, triggered by the shutting off of the sympathetic and the initiation of the parasympathetic nervous system. All of this is being done all day long, regulated by the brain through the nervous system, which sends wires to your arterial systems. Well, they had a good idea with a beta blocker. Beta blocker shut off the vasoconstrictive nervous system. Not a bad idea. I have a better idea. Why don't you shut off the vasoconstrictive part of the nervous system? Why don't you do it? Why don't you learn to do it? Why don't you understand that if you learn to do it, you don't need the drug because the drugs have side effects? Those of you who don't know how to relax, those of you who forgot what it was to be a teenager once again and carefree. And who is that? That is everybody. That is everybody over the age of 50. And this is the point. We use beta blockers with their own group of side effects to send impulses into the artery to vasodilate it. Keeping in mind, if you're on the inside of an artery, if you're a gush of blood coming down the inside of the artery, and that artery is constricted, the pressure against the wall of the artery is much higher than if that artery is dilated. That's where the high blood pressure piece comes in. So if you're in vasoconstriction, if that diameter is reduced because the nerve impulses are keeping it constricted rather than expanded, you're going to see those readings go up. And of course, outside of doing a drug to turn off those vasoconstrictive neurological forces, you just might do it yourself. And this is where the rubber hits the road in our understanding of what it means to relax. 300 shows. And you all know I'm always harping on this. Why? Because the level to which you need to relax is something the American public has forgotten. When we say relax, it doesn't mean a glass of wine with dinner. It doesn't mean a walk in the park. It doesn't mean a little sunshine at lunch. It doesn't mean these little pitter-pat things we do because some book, some journal, some doctor says you need to relax a little bit more. Take off an extra Saturday each week. And again, we can't knock these little steps. But if you want to bring to the tirade of high blood pressure a mechanism to set it to normal, to bring it down so you don't need drugs, so you can get off these drugs, you have to look at your animals, your dogs and your cats and your horses. You have to look to nature. I think that's the best way I can get it to you. Because nature does it right. Nature's bringing it where it needs to go. So I want you to consider your kitty cat. I want you to consider your puppy dog. I want you to consider that both those animals out there in nature, each and every day, cats are a great thing to look at. Cats are a great example. An afternoon for a cat. That's right, your house cat. That cat that's lying under the Christmas tree right now. That cat that's playing in abandon, in a bliss state, on the living room floor right now. That cat out there in the backyard for 4 or 5 hours. It may be in a fight. It may eat another animal. It may die. A coyote may chase it. A dog may chase it. That cat, in a 3 or 4 hour stint in your backyard, has been through so many life-altering emotional traumas that if even one of them happened to you over a 20-year period, one time, you may never recover. And what does that cat do? That cat takes it every single day. And yet that's the same cat that walks through the door or the little cat door. And within 10 or 15 minutes, within 20 minutes, within an hour, is purring and salivating and lying there on its back with its arms and legs spread wide open, just waiting to be pet, to purr. Now that is a mechanism that human beings forgot. That's a line across which you do not have high blood pressure. So you see, we talk about drugs. We talk about supplements. We talk about magnesium. We talk about arginine. We talk about all sorts of herbs and pharmaceutical drugs. And really, I have to call your attention to something in my clinical experience is much bigger. And that is the gradual evolution of an individual claiming its birthright and simply starting to do what we watch our favorite pussycat or puppy dog do every single day, and that's bring relaxation to a physiological climax. I'm talking about regulating the autonomic nervous system. I'm talking about learning to do the things that animals do every single day. And I've done so many shows on this. And if you're new to the show, welcome. Anytime I'm talking about yoga, about getting flexible, about exercise. Oh, yes, you understand what I'm talking about because you go to your yoga class. You see, here's the thing. There is a nuance here. If people really understood how to do these things, if you understood how to relax, if people generally really understood it, we wouldn't have blood pressure drugs. The issue becomes there's something the animals are doing. The animals have retained a mastery of what your average person in a yoga class will never learn. I'm going to repeat that. There is an education, there is an art form to learning to connect to your body in ways that affect the physiology. It's like yoga advanced. It's like breath work. It's like what happens in a massage situation where you begin to develop relationship so the releases become deeper and deeper and deeper. And the great thing about society today is that it offers you a lot of these venues. My point to you is that they have to evolve into the levels where the physiology begins to respond in a more profound level. And that's when we shut off the vasoconstrictive nervous system and begin to initiate the vasodilatory nervous system. So, an endothelial layer that represents our intelligence. The reduction of toxins and free radicals through that blood to irritate that endothelial layer and make it defective in a less than optimal production of nitrous oxide. The reduction of all free radicals in the blood so that the endothelial layer can reproduce and live in an unadorned state, live in a less than defective state, so that it can respond more appropriately, lest it be under a layer of sludge or a layer of damaged free radicals from heavy metals to the benzenes to all the pesticides and collectively corrupt its own cell mechanisms. To the autonomic nervous system, to your mastery of it to allow a vasodilatory response when you need it, lest you go on beta blockers, to an understanding that diuretics will pull so much water and with it so many electrolytes, specifically magnesium, without which you're going to go into even more vasoconstriction. Now, you can measure your magnesium levels with, a fairly credible test. It's called RBC Magnesium. You can get this ordered through your medical doctor, through your healthcare practitioner. You can go online and order it yourself. It's called RBC Magnesium. It'll tell you what your magnesium levels are on a more functional level than the magnesium levels in the blood. By the time it's low in the blood, you've got bigger problems. You can't tell what's going on with your electrolytes by measuring them in the blood. Long before they're low in the blood, they're low where you need them to be high. And you're not going to get that from a regular blood test. So these are specialized blood tests that if you go to picture 26, picture 26 is an example of a test from LabCorp. LabCorp is used. It's one of the very popular labs used by lots of people. And there you see RBC magnesium. If you can't do that, what you do is start titrating the magnesium in. Magnesium glycinate is a good one to get. And as you titrate varying levels of magnesium glycinate in, you have to be aware that it may cause diarrhea. So you have to do it to bowel tolerance. But as you bring the amounts of magnesium higher and higher and higher just to bowel tolerance, you may well invoke an all-important reduction of that blood pressure. Now, as those endothelial layers begin to corrupt, the corruption may extend into deeper layers. If you go in through the endothelial layers, you will begin to corrupt the elasticity of the artery. In other words, you may scar into the elasticity of the artery, and the arteries may get hard. So you got to understand, if you have a layer of plaque, fatty plaque, on the inside of the artery, if you have a layer of calcific plaque on the inside of the arteries lose elasticity. It is the elasticity of the artery that also regulates the blood pressure. Again, we're not talking about vasodilation of the artery now. We're not talking about the blood volume of the artery. We're talking about the elasticity of the artery. If you force a lot of blood down an artery, and as it hits the inner wall of the artery wall expands out because it's elastic, well, you regulate and keep down your blood pressure. If you throw that same volume of blood down an arterial wall and it hits the inside of the wall and the wall is not elastic, if it cannot expand out, well, then the pressure on the inside of the wall is going to go up. So we have to look at the elasticity of the artery. Another good reason to live a lifestyle that doesn't allow the plaque to build. Now, we've discussed that already, but I want to give you another insight here. If over time the inflammatory response eats its way into the deeper layers of the artery, you start to scar the artery. And the artery begins to lose its elasticity. The matrix of the artery deep inside begins to get less elastic. This is so important to understand because there are so many reasons, once you study high blood pressure, for your blood pressure to persist. Say you've had a history of smoking, or your exposure to free radicals from the job you do has been off the chart. The scarring may be into the deeper layers of the artery. Now, your body can still cure that. Bringing up the essential fatty acids, giving your body a true oil change. Bringing down your LDLs, bringing up your HDLs. Opening up the biliary system, bringing in copious amounts of the good fats. There on picture 30, the EPA DHA marine liquid that Premier Research Labs puts out. You can trust the purity of that oil. And bringing those numbers up and the bad fats down, and keeping the free radical levels in the blood low, and keeping the autonomic nervous system in balance, your body will begin to go after the scar tissue that makes the body less elastic, that makes the artery less elastic. You can rebuild the elasticity of the artery. But if that's your task, you've got some more work to do. That's a deeper issue. So when we talk about high blood pressure, we're talking about arterial perfusion. Even before the numbers are off, the perfusion can be weaker. If you've got high blood pressure and you're on the drugs, they have side effects. To have an alternative so you don't have to do the drugs, you need the understandings. Of everything I've said, there's a lot more about that neurological. There's a lot more about the nervous system that regulates the blood pressure than the supplements and the chemistry. I mean, statistically, it really is stress. But to understand that on a functional level, you got to look at your animals. Now, the consequences can be stroke. Finally, you tear the walls of the artery to the point where the artery bursts. Over time, the damage from high blood pressure to the inner wall of the artery can also help make a clot. And then we get to the kidney, the all-important kidney, the filtration system of the body. The kidney takes out of the blood what it needs to take out and leaves in the blood what it needs to leave in. So that filtration mechanism through the glomerulus of the kidney begins to compromise, and you start pushing stuff through the banging wave of high blood pressure against the capillaries in the glomerulus of the kidney begin to damage the capillary tuft in the kidney. And so the blood pressure thing starts to drive renal disease. There are many manifestations of high blood pressure. It'll go after the kidney. It'll tear up the inside of the arteries. It'll make clots, therefore. It'll drive what ultimately is a stroke just from a hemorrhagic stroke. It'll produce just a feeling of not being right. And once the high blood pressure comes up, well, the body panics and it further imbalances the nervous system. When you're medicated over the years for it, it may prevent an acute crisis, but the long-term effect of the meds creates another problem. And so you see multiple factors all dancing in negative reciprocity so that by the time you're 65 or 70 or 75 years old, your body is being successfully ravaged by all these variables moving in the wrong direction. To which, if you understand the principles, what I've laid down to here, you can begin to take action to wean yourself down. Under supervision, intelligently, slowly, to tweak away, utilizing all your fundamental understandings so that eventually you can reduce and then eliminate the blood pressure meds. People do it. It's in the literature. I've seen people do it. I've advised people regularly on how to make the changes to get this done. So for 2017, you get off your blood pressure meds. You bring down your blood pressure. And Merry Christmas to you. If you're lost in the labyrinth of help, I'm always there for you. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Merry Christmas to you.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.